What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Ah, can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting the NFL playoffs, buckle up. Betting football's hard enough as it is. We're doing the research for you, so listen to Cash the Ticket with Mike Valeni and I. We'll be dropping new episodes for every single playoff game. And that's going to be storylines leading into it, so some good football stuff, but also the betting nuggets you're looking for. Sides, totals, trends, player props, throw those in there too. Pre-game and post-game, we're going to be all over the postseason. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. It is Tuesday at 4, which means we are lucky enough to be joined by Jordan Mailata, as we always are at this time on this day. Jordan's call-in sponsored by Colonial Hyundai. Colonial Hyundai, shop online 24/7 at colonialhyundai.com. The faster, easier way to buy a Hyundai. Jordan, how you feeling, brother?
I feel great. Thanks for having me.
So, big win on Sunday. Congrats. Move on to the next round. You personally, how do you feel like offensive side of the team performed on Sunday?
Straight into it. I love it. I thought we did some good things on offense. I really do. I think for the most part, Green Bay came to play and they did exactly what we saw in film, and they added some wrinkles. And I think the biggest takeaway from this game, or the way we performed, I think was just operation, time out of the huddle, getting set, making sure that we get into the line quick enough to, make the calls. There were a couple of times when we just, the communique kind of didn't get to the edges. So that's how I thought we played. It's communication and procedure.
What can you give perspective of what it feels like on the field? It's a home playoff game. Oren creates the turnover on the opening kickoff, and you guys score that touchdown. What it's like to be on the field with that crowd in a specific moment like that?
I'll tell you what. I don't think you can explain it. Like, there's nothing that can come close to it. I can tell you this, though. I really wanted to get the ball first. So when Oren did that, my prayers were answered. I wanted to get the ball and go down and score, and we didn't have to travel far to go get a touchdown. And playing at home is my favorite thing to do, man, because Philly fans know how to show up. And when they show up, they show out. The atmosphere was electric. We say it every year, but it's the only thing you can kind of compare it to. Just like the electricity, you can feel it in the air. There's a storm brewing.
you just mentioned how you was kind of hoping that you guys got the ball first. Now, when you guys win the toss, that never happens, right? Because we always defer to the second half. That's an interesting point coming from you, because you're an offensive guy, and you want to go out there that first drive, feed off that energy, and get rolling. I wonder, does anybody ever suggest to coach, like, hey, coach, are you thinking about taking the ball this week or not? Does anybody ever suggest that?
No, I don't think so. It kind of just a thing for coach, what he's feeling. Mm-hmm. But, whatever coach says, I'm going to go on that coin toss. And obviously, I'm at the coin toss, and I'm seeing him call tails. And I'm just like, it's going to land on heads. But I just know we're going to win this, and I have to defer it.
I love your mindset. I love your mindset. You're going out there, you want to lose the coin toss so the other team will save. Yeah.
I like getting the first drive out. If it ends in a touchdown, you know, that's the freaking goal. But you want to get into a rhythm, you know, Oren Burks made that play and accelerated that rhythm.
Yeah.
I never thought about you can't even purposely lose a coin toss.
No, you can't.
Exactly. Yeah.
That's funny. So you mentioned getting in a rhythm. There was, from an offensive perspective, in the middle of the game, there was a lull. I think you guys punted on three or four consecutive possessions. How do you, when you're not in a rhythm like that, how do you prevent frustration from stopping you from doing the right things and the things that you need to do? Because I know anybody, it's just sort of human nature. When the things aren't working like they normally do, you tend to sort of overreact. How do you prevent against that?
Well, that's all the work that we put into off the field, you know, developing those relationships. So when the communication isn't key on the field, when you go to that sideline, you better make sure that communication is there, because you got to figure out answers and you have to figure it out fast. Yeah. And so that's how you stop the emotion from taking over, because you have that relationship with that person that you need to get something across to. And it helps when your QB is open and he comes to our side of the bench to communicate, what he's seeing, what we're seeing, and how we can come up with answers along with, you know, Kellen and Nick and Stout. So the communication was the biggest part on the sideline.
Yeah, you mentioned having Jalen there, having your QB back out there with you. What was that like for you guys Sunday? It's been a few weeks. None of you guys played last week or 2 weeks ago against the Giants in that final game. And it's been a few weeks since he's been out there. What was that like for the offense, having him back out there on the center?
Man, can I be honest, man? It was very nostalgic for me just seeing the huddle, going into the huddle, especially after Oren made that play. You could feel the electricity, and you see Jalen, you see Dallas, AJ, Smitty, and then us five up there. Mm-hmm. Say, I mean, that what a special group we have, man. But it was awesome. It was awesome to have Jay back, because it just felt like the band was back together again. Like everyone was there. Dallas was back from his little stint. So, man, it was awesome having Jay back.
The defense has been awesome all year, and Sunday was an incredible performance from them. Is this defense this year the best defense you think that the Eagles have had since you've been on the team?
I think so. I think so, just from what I get to see at practice, what I get to hear from Vic and how he coaches, and how Nick coaches as well. So, like, you know, there's no shade to any of the defenses in the past. I just think this year, and our goal and our mission to win a Super Bowl, this is the most detailed, this is the most high-effort, you know, team that I've seen with my own eyes. And because I get to go to work with these guys, I see the work that they put in every day. And then when it shows up on Sunday, I'm not surprised. Because our defense works hard.
Go ahead. Go ahead. Oh, the Rams had a pretty impressive win last night, especially given the circumstances, having to move the home game. You guys beat them a couple of months ago. I assume you watched last night. Was there anything you saw different with the Rams team that is playing now compared to the Rams team that you guys played a couple of months ago?
I saw a hunger from them, man. And, you know, that they're playing for something bigger than themselves right now. You can see that last night. So I'm going to just end that there.
No, it's all good. I remember the last time you guys played them, Jordan. We had you on, I think we had you on that Monday, the day after the game, and you talked about how physical the game was and how sore you were after that game.
Yeah, I mean, I said that was, you know, one of the most physical games I've ever played.
Yeah.
And, we're expecting that. I'm expecting that this time, But, man, they come into our home ground, so it's going to be a good game.
Yeah, and now that I think about it, it is another team in the playoffs that you played during the season that you had already beaten that year, which probably doesn't happen all that often.
Yeah, how do you view that, Jordan? As that, I guess it could be viewed both ways, as an advantage, you know, because you've seen them already, but they've also seen you already. Like, how do you like playing a team again once you've already played them in the regular season?
I mean, you just treat it like a divisional opponent.
Okay.
You know, that's it, you know what they're good at. They know what you're good at. You know, you see both sides of the ball, what you're bad, what you're good, what you're bad and good at. You know, and it's a good feeling. Like, you know what you're going to get. What you have to prepare for is the stuff that's, you know, hidden in their DNA. What their DC, what their OC like to go to, you know, to cause wrinkles. That's what you got to prepare for.
Yep.
So before we let you go, the last time we had you on, it was when you had just gotten the award from the Eagles media. Well, I'm holding you to this. You had just gotten the award from the Eagles media as the, you know, the number one player in terms of media, they appreciate you. And I asked you last week, if the Eagles had to give out an award to a media member as their favorite, who would you give? And you said, if we win the playoff game, I'm on with you next week, I'll give it to you. And here we are. So do you have a media member that you would give the award to?
Kind of crazy, because I was just going to say this again. If we win this playoff game,
I will make a deal.
We're not letting you off the hook, man. Come on, give me somebody.
It's such a broad, you know, question. Think about it.
Well, there's lots of different Eagles players. You still got an award.
There's a lot of different. There's 53 of us. 53 of us. There are, like, you got to be more specific. Media, beat writer, like, do they?
The beat writer, people that cover the team.
We'll take us idiots out of it.
Yeah,
and there's no way we'd win that anyway.
Yes.
So, yeah, why don't you just...
Well, I could, but
well, you might, yes. So how about just the people who are at NovaCare? Like the people who come and cover the team.
Cover the team.
Okay, thank you for doing that.
Yes,
that
really for sure.
Helps, you know, bring it down a little bit. Stay tuned for next week when you find out.
All right. Well, I'm going to make this deal with you. And this is a one-sided deal because I'm saying it's the deal. We'll give you the one other week. But
I have a name.
Okay.
But see, now you're going to ruin all my relationships that I've built the last 7 years with everyone that comes to NovaCare.
That's right.
That's why you should have just picked Ike.
Yeah. You might have been safer just picking me. Yeah.
Doesn't count, Ike. You don't come into the locker room.
Yeah.
That is true. That is true, brother.
I should say, you don't come into the locker room as a media member.
I do not. No, you're right.
All right about that.
Well,
go win that game at 3:00 on Sunday. We'll talk to you Tuesday, and then we will pull that name out of you.
All right. Good luck, brother.
Appreciate it.
There he is, Jordan Mailata. I love him, man.
Yes.
That's a good dude right there.
Yes.
So we mentioned this a little bit yesterday, but we didn't get a chance to play the sound. Is the city and the Philadelphia 76ers and the Flyers announced yesterday that they would be building an arena in South Philly where everybody wants it, and they'd be going 50-50 in on the arena. And Josh Harris was there. He made it there after the Commanders game.
Yep.
Big move by him.
Man.
He looked a little tired.
Yeah, looked a little tired. But we've always thought of Josh Harris, you know, not just as a rich guy and the owner of the Sixers and the Commanders, but a tremendous orator, right? Like just a...
This is going to be awesome.
A motivational speaker, and he always just really gets you going.
Most importantly, I want to thank our fans.
So here's what Josh had to say about how the deal came together.
We didn't really change our mind, actually. We were really committed to Market East, but, you know, obviously when the... We also had our North Star was doing the right thing by Philly. And when, you know, a lot, you know, deals don't come together exactly when you want them. And, you know, when Comcast and when Brian, you know, Adam Silver said, look, guys, you're fighting. You know, let's try to come together. We felt we could build a better arena. We could also revitalize Market East. And we felt that it was 1 + 1 = 3 situation, and so we pivoted. We pivoted on behalf. It's a little more complicated for all of us. Comcast was willing generously, even though they had put in a lot of money into the existing arena to make it great, to move up their time frame. And all of us made compromises to do the right thing by Philly. And one thing I can tell you, just I'll stop there and let others say, but one thing I can tell you about President Johnson and Mayor Parker is they're tough. Like they're going to represent your interests well. So For sure, we're all you know, you can depend on them to do the right thing by the city and to garner everything that we have to support the city. So it wasn't planned, but it happened. First meeting was in early December, and we got we got the mayor involved as soon as we could.
It sounded like it was a real priority to get the mayor involved. What do you think they told her Friday? Maybe.
Yeah. We got to change the plans.
Change the plans. All that, a couple years where the conversations. We're just actually going to. Now, just a couple of things on this. First of all, you have to wonder how much the Commander Stadium getting approved puts a strain on cash from them and whether maybe they had to bail, whether it was more likely to bail on this plan because building two facilities is more expensive than, right, than just building one. Ah. So you have to wonder that. The other thing is, because there's a text line joke, but I got a couple of emails of this about why I blame the city politicians as opposed to just like blaming the Sixers.
Right.
And here's what I think about. Like, imagine you move to Colorado in the middle of the woods and they warned you, hey, there's wolves all over the woods. So if you have a pet, be really careful by putting your pet in the backyard. Mm-hmm. And so what you would probably do is put up giant fences, keep an eye on your pet when they're backyard, blah, 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 blah. But if you didn't do that and the wolf came and killed your pet, like, wolves are wolves. That's what wolves do. It's your job to protect the pet. And my point is, this is what sports owners do. This is what rich people do. They try to get richer. They try to get they try to get buildings to make them richer. That's what they do. That, like, I'm not supporting it or killing it. It's like, it's just what they do. It's what they do in every city. It's up to the people who are supposed to be protecting us, the politicians in the city who ran for office, get paid to do it. Those are the people that are supposed to be sniffing these things out and protecting the city from the wolves. So do I think it's cool that the Sixers wasted everyone's time and money for 2 years? No, I think it's abhorrent. But I also think that's what they do. They are the wolves in this scenario. So the reason I'm more mad at the mayor and city council is because I thought they looked weak. I thought they got bullied by the Sixers and they got bullied by Comcast. And basically what it shows is if you have enough money, you never the hell you want in the city. You can waste money. You can waste time. You can build wherever you want to build. Does it make sense? No. Do people want it? No. Doesn't matter. We're just going to let it happen anyway. And then if they decide not to do it, we're just going to let that happen too. And then the mayor standing up there in the press conference looking foolish, city council looking foolish, all standing up at their press conference. So that's why. Like, I don't think it's cool that the Sixers did this. I don't support it. But if I'm going to be mad at somebody, it's going to be the person who is supposed to be standing up for us. And if we're going to wait for the owners and the billionaires to stand up for us, we'll be waiting for a long time. That's not what they're supposed to be doing.
Sure.
So that's why my specific frustration is with city council, the ones who voted for it, and the mayor, is because, like, they care about two things. They care about getting elected again and press releases. And they just want to do a press release to make everybody happy, and they just want to get elected again. And doing what is best for us is not always what is front and center for them. And that's what it should be.
Yeah, and that's why being a politician is not easy to do, especially running for mayor, because you're going to disappoint somebody.
Yes.
When big business is at play. So I would ask, because I don't know the answer, in all honesty, I would ask, was there a way that they, meaning the city, the mayor, and this is before she was even elected, because this started before she was, this,
yep.
Remember, Weston McCollum was like, I can't wait to be out of here.
Jim Kenney, yeah.
Yeah, Jim Kenney, he couldn't wait to get out of the office as mayor. I wonder, is there something that they could have done to push this to happen? It seemed like they were so focused on not letting the Sixers go to Camden and trying to keep them over here.
Well, I think, first of all,
feel like they gave in to that.
Well, you're right in that the job is horrible. Being the mayor of a big city,
major city
in the United States is a horrible job. It's like taking on a business that you know is going to lose money, but you're taking, and not only that, to keep your job, everybody has to vote for you.
Right.
So then their focus becomes a popularity contest instead of what's, because the truth is like, to do that job right, you have to make hard decisions that people are going to be mad at you for. You have to. If you're going to do it right, it's sort of like if you're running a company, sometimes if you're not making money and you have to get rid of people, you have to make tough decisions, all those sorts of things. But if everyone has to vote for you to keep your job, then it's less likely that you're going to make those decisions.
Yep.
So my thought is like, she got in office and one of the first, I'm not just blaming her because city council was, they were acting tough and they all rolled over too. Everybody rolled over. But they're going to threaten you with Camden as like, on some level, you have to say, all right, tough guy, you're going to be the guy, really. You're going to be the organization that takes the Philadelphia 76ers, which is named after being in the city. You're going to move them to Camden. Like, I know you don't want to do that. You know, that's on some level why you want somebody in that position who may have run businesses before or understand. Because politicians and these sorts of people, I don't even really think they live in the same world.
Right.
You know, like Josh, a Harris Blitzer, wasting a year and a half and who knows how much money they wasted on the $20 million, whatever. That's like a drop in the bucket.
They don't
for
care
them.
About that.
They don't
yeah.
care. They just want their outcome,
yep.
you know?
Yep.
So all I hope is all this stuff about committing to investing in Market East and all this stuff that they say they're going to do.
That they do it.
I hope they do it.
Yeah.
I hope, because I think there are things we could do with Market East that are a lot better than having 46ers games there.
Now, let me
year.
Ask you this.
Yeah.
And we can move on from it. Yep. Jack is in there dying.
Yes, I'm sorry, Jack. I'm sorry, Jack. It's important.
Let's get it back to the Eagles.
Yeah, we'll get back to the Eagles. I just think it's important.
So do you think from a fan standpoint, with all that, the frustration, the 2 years, the back and forth, the meetings, all that, the protests, they're ultimately happy it's going to be in South
yes.
Philly.
End of the day, they
right.
are.
Right, they're happy. Fans are happy. They're standing South Philly.
Right.
So it's,
but that's like the shame of it, is why did we do all this?
Right.
Why did we pit these weird racial divides and these protests and these meetings?
To try to sway people, right?
To try to sway people. At the end of the day, they're like, yeah, I know you made you sound like a racist if you wanted to put it here in Chinatown, but yeah, we were just kidding. We didn't even really want to put it there anyway.
Right.
It's just like... It makes you feel foolish, but you get what you want at the end. It's like if you've ever dated a girl, as I have, like my wife, is out of your league, and she's 2 hours late for a date. Mm. You're cursing for the whole 2 hours, and then she gets there, and you're like, well, I'm happy now because at least she showed up. And I think that's like sort of the position that we're in. We got what we wanted at the end, so we're just happy with it.
Yeah.
But like...
You put a few key words in there. I ain't happy when she showed up. I'm happy at the end. We all get what we want.
It's called a big dose of D.
We'll get to that
you
in
know
about
next
15
segment.
Minutes. Yeah.
Yeah, baby.
All right.
Just warming up the audience.
Yeah. Right.
Enough.
And that's key. Yes. Well, as we'll learn, part of warming up might be
we'll get to.
Zephyr tease.
So, also we'll get to coming up. We have somebody, an Eagles insider of the year,
man,
that has been laying dormant for months.
For 6 months.
who had a scoop yesterday that might put this person back in the rankings. Huge Eagles scoop. That is coming up next. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.
It's the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. It is Tuesday at 4, which means we are lucky enough to be joined by Jordan Mailata, as we always are at this time on this day. Jordan's call-in sponsored by Colonial Hyundai. Colonial Hyundai. Shop online 24/7 at colonialhyundai.com. The faster, easier way to buy a Hyundai. Jordan, how you feeling, brother?
I feel great. Thank you for having me.
So, big win on Sunday. Congrats. Move on to the next round. You personally, how do you feel like offensive side of the team performed on Sunday?
Straight into it. I love it. I thought we did some good things on offense. I really do. I think for the most part, Green Bay came to play and they did exactly what we saw in film, and they added some wrinkles. And I think the biggest takeaway from this game, or the way we performed, I think was just operation, time out of the huddle, getting set, making sure that we get into the line quick enough to, make the calls. There were a couple of times when we just, the communique kind of didn't get to the edges. So that's how I thought we played. It's communication and procedure.
What can you give perspective of what it feels like on the field? It's a home playoff game.
Oren creates the turnover on the opening kickoff, and you guys score that touchdown. What it's like to be on the field with that crowd in a specific moment like that?
I'll tell you what, I don't think you can explain it. Like, there's nothing that can come close to it. I can tell you this, though. I really wanted to get the ball first. So when Oren did that, I was like, oh, my prayers were answered. I wanted to get the ball and go down and score, and we didn't have to travel far to go get a touchdown. But and playing at home is my favorite thing to do, man, because Philly fans know how to show up. And when they show up, they show out. The atmosphere was electric. We say it every year, but it's the only thing you can kind of compare it to. It's just like the electricity, you can feel it in the air. There's a storm brewing.
You just mentioned how you was kind of hoping that you guys got the ball first. Now, you know, when you guys win the toss, that never happens, right? Because we always defer to the second half. That's an interesting point coming from you because you're an offensive guy, and you want to go out there that first drive, feed off that energy, and get rolling. I wonder, does anybody ever suggest to coach, like, hey, coach, you think about taking the ball this week or not? Does anybody ever suggest that?
No, I don't think so. It kind of just a thing for coach, what he's feeling. Mm-hmm. But, you know, whatever coach says, I'm going to go on that coin toss. And obviously, I'm at the coin toss, and I'm seeing him call tails. And I'm just like, it's going to land on heads. But I just know we're going to win this, and I have to defer it.
I love your mindset. You're going out there, you want to lose the coin toss, so the other team will say, yeah.
I like getting the first drive out. If it ends in a touchdown, you know, that's the freaking goal. But you want to get into a rhythm, you know, and Oren Burks made that play and accelerated that rhythm.
Yeah.
I never thought about you can't even purposely lose a coin toss.
No, you can't.
Exactly. Yeah.
That's funny. So you mentioned getting in a rhythm. There was, from an offensive perspective, in the middle of the game, there was a lull. I think you guys punted on three or four consecutive possessions. How do you, when you're not in a rhythm like that, how do you prevent frustration from stopping you from doing the right things and the things that you need to do? Because I know anybody, it's just sort of human nature. When the things aren't working like they normally do, you tend to sort of overreact. How do you prevent against that?
Well, that's all the work that we put into off the field. Mm. You know, developing those relationships. So when the communication isn't key on the field, when you go to that sideline, you've got to make sure that communication is there because you've got to figure out answers and you have to figure it out fast. Yeah. And so that's how you stop the emotion from taking over, because you have that relationship with that person that you need to get something across to. And it helps when your QB is open and he comes to our side of the bench to communicate what he's seeing, what we're seeing, and how we can come up with answers along with Kellen and Nick and Stout. So the communication was the biggest part on the sideline.
Yeah, you mentioned having Jalen there, having your QB back out there with you. What was that like for you guys Sunday? It's been a few weeks. None of you guys played last week or 2 weeks ago against the Giants in that final game. And it's been a few weeks since he's been out there. What was that like for the offense, having him back out there on the center?
Man, can I be honest, man? It was very nostalgic for me just seeing the huddle, going into the huddle, especially after Oren made that play. You could feel the electricity, and then you see Jalen, you see Dallas, AJ, Smitty, and then us five up there. Mm-hmm. Say, I mean, that what a special group we have, man. But it was awesome. It was awesome to have Jay back because it just felt like the band was back together again. Like everyone was there. Dallas was back from his little stint. So, man, it was awesome having Jay back.
The defense has been awesome all year, and Sunday was an incredible performance from them. Is this defense this year the best defense you think that the Eagles have had since you've been on the team?
I think so. Just from what I get to see at practice, what I get to hear from Vic and how he coaches, and how Nick coaches as well. So, like, you know, there's no shade to any of the defenses in the past. I just think this year and our goal and our mission to win a Super Bowl, this is the most detailed, this is the most high effort, you know, team that I've seen with my own eyes. And because I get to go to work with these guys, I see the work that they put in every day. And then when it shows up on Sunday, I'm not surprised. Because our defense works hard.
Go ahead. Oh, the Rams had a pretty impressive win last night, especially given the circumstances, having to move the home game. You guys beat them a couple of months ago. I assume you watched last night. Was there anything you saw different with the Rams team that is playing now compared to the Rams team that you guys played a couple of months ago?
I saw a hunger from them, man. And, you know, that they're playing for something bigger than themselves right now. You can see that last night. So I'm going to just end that there.
No, it's all good. I remember the last time you guys played them, Jordan. We had you on, I think we had you on that Monday, the day after the game. And you talked about how physical the game was and how sore you were after that game.
Yeah, I mean, I said that was, you know, one of the most physical games I've ever played.
Yeah.
And, we're expecting that. I'm expecting that this time. But man, they come into our home ground. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be a good game.
Yeah, and it's, now that I think about it, it is another team in the playoffs that you played during the season that you had already beaten that year, which probably doesn't happen all that often.
Yeah. How do you view that, Jordan? I guess it could be viewed both ways, as an advantage. You know, because you've seen them already, but they've also seen you already. Like, how do you like playing a team again once you've already played them in the regular season?
I mean, you just treat it like a divisional opponent.
Okay.
You know, that's it, you know what they're good at. They know what you're good at. You know, you see both sides of the ball, what you're bad, what you're good, what you're bad and good at. You know, and it's a good feeling. Like, you know what you're going to get. What you have to prepare for is the stuff that's, you know, hidden in their DNA. What their DC, what their OC like to go to, you know, to cause wrinkles. That's what you got to prepare for.
Yep.
So before we let you go, the last time we had you on, it was when you had just gotten the award from the Eagles media. Well, I'm holding you to this. You had just gotten the award from the Eagles media as the number one player in terms of media, they appreciate you. And I asked you last week, if the Eagles had to give out an award to a media member as their favorite, who would you give? And you said, if we win the playoff game, I'm on with you next week, I'll give it to you. And here we are. So do you have a media member that you would give the award to?
Kind of crazy, because I was just going to say this again. If we win this playoff game,
I will make a deal.
We're not
with
letting
you
off the hook, man. Come on, give me somebody.
It's such a broad, you know, question. Think about it.
Well, there's lots of different Eagles players. You still got an award.
There's a lot of different. There's 53 of us. 53 of us. They're like, you got to be more specific. Media, beat writer, like, do they?
The beat writer, people that cover the team.
We'll take us idiots out of it, and there's no way we'd win that anyway.
Yes.
So, yeah, why don't you just...
Well, I could, but
well, you might, yes. So how about just the people who are at NovaCare? Like, the people who come and cover the team.
Cover the team.
Okay, that's, thank you for doing that.
Yes,
that
really for sure.
Helps, you know, bring it down a little bit. Stay tuned for next week when you find out.
All right. Well, I'm going to make this deal with you. And this is a one-sided deal because I'm saying it's the deal. We'll give you the one other week. But if
no,
we're
doing... I have a name.
Okay.
But see, now you're going to ruin all my relationships that I've built the last 7 years with everyone that comes to NovaCare.
That's right.
That's why you should have just picked Ike.
Yeah. You might have been safer just picking me. Yeah.
Doesn't count if you don't come into the locker room.
Yeah.
That is true. That is true, brother.
Sorry, I should say, you don't come into the locker room as a media member.
I do not. No, you're right. All right. About that,
well, go win that game at 3 o'clock on Sunday. We'll talk to you Tuesday, and then we will pull that name out of you.
All right, good luck, brother.
Appreciate it.
There he is, Jordan Mailata. I love him, man.
Yes.
That's a good dude right there.
Yes.
So we mentioned this a little bit yesterday, but we didn't get a chance to play the sound. Is the city and the Philadelphia 76ers and the Flyers announced yesterday that they would be
building an arena in South Philly where everybody wants it, and they'd be going 50-50 in on the arena. And Josh Harris was there. He made it there after the Commanders game.
Yep.
Big move by him.
Man. He looked a little tired.
Yeah, looked a little tired. But we've always thought of Josh Harris, you know, not just as a rich guy and the owner of the Sixers and the Commanders, but a tremendous orator, right? Like just
this is going to be awesome.
A motivational speaker, and he always just really gets you going.
Most importantly, I want to thank our fans.
So here's what Josh had to say about how the deal came together.
We didn't really change our mind, actually. We were really committed to Market East, but, you know, obviously when we also had our North Star was doing the right thing by Philly. And when, deals don't come together exactly when you want them. And, you know, when Comcast and when Brian, Adam Silver said, look, guys, you're fighting. Let's try to come together. We felt we could build a better arena. We could also revitalize Market East. And we felt that it was a 1 + 1 = 3 situation, and so we pivoted. We pivoted on behalf of it. It's a little more complicated for all of us. Comcast was willing generously, even though they had put in a lot of money into the existing arena to make it great, to move up their time frame. And all of us made compromises to do the right thing by Philly. And one thing I can tell you, I'll stop there and let others say, but one thing I can tell you about President Johnson and Mayor Parker is they're tough. Like they're going to represent your interests well. So for sure we're all you can depend on them to do the right thing by the city and to garner everything that we have to support the city. So it wasn't planned, but it happened. First meeting was in early December, and we got we got the mayor involved as soon as we could.
It sounded like it was a real priority to get the mayor involved. What do you think they told her, Friday? Maybe?
Yeah, we got to change the plans.
Change the plans. All that, a couple years worth of conversations. We're just actually going to... Now, just a couple of things on this. First of all, you have to wonder how much the Commander Stadium getting approved puts a strain on cash from them and whether maybe they had to... whether it was more likely to bail on this plan because building two facilities is more expensive than just building one. So you have to wonder that. The other thing is, because there's a text line joke, but I got a couple of emails of this about why I blame the city politicians as opposed to just like blaming the Sixers.
Right.
And here's what I think about. Like, imagine you move to Colorado, in the middle of the woods, and they warned you, hey, there's wolves all over the woods. So if you have a pet, be really careful by putting your pet in the backyard. Mm-hmm. And so what you would probably do is put up giant fences, keep an eye on your pet when they're backyard, blah, 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 blah. But if you didn't do that, and the wolf came and killed your pet, like, wolves are wolves. That's what wolves do. It's your job to protect the pet. And my point is, this is what sports owners do. This is what rich people do. They try to get richer. They try to get they try to get buildings to make them richer. That's what they do. That, like, I'm not supporting it or killing it. It's like, it's just what they do. It's what they do in every city. It's up to the people who are supposed to be protecting us, the politicians in the city who ran for office, get paid to do it. Those are the people that are supposed to be sniffing these things out and protecting the city from the wolves. So do I think it's cool that the Sixers wasted everyone's time and money for 2 years? No, I think it's abhorrent. But I also think that's what they do. They are the wolves in this scenario. So the reason I'm more mad at the mayor and city council is because I thought they looked weak. I thought they got bullied by the Sixers and they got bullied by Comcast. And basically what it shows is if you have enough money, you never the hell you want in the city. You can waste money. You can waste time. You can build wherever you want to build. Does it make sense? No. Do people want it? No. Doesn't matter. We're just going to let it happen anyway. And then if they decide not to do it, we're just going to let that happen too. And then the mayor standing up there in the press conference looking foolish, city council looking foolish, all standing up at their press conference. So that's why, Like, I don't think it's cool that the Sixers did this. I don't support it. But if I'm going to be mad at somebody, it's going to be the person who is supposed to be standing up for us. And if we're going to wait for the owners and the billionaires to stand up for us, we'd be waiting for a long time. That's not what they're supposed to be doing.
Sure.
So that's why my specific frustration is with city council, the ones who voted for it, and the mayor, is because, like, they just care about, they care about two things. They care about getting elected again and press releases. And they just want to do a press release to make everybody happy, and they just want to get elected again. And doing what is best for us is not always what is front and center for them. And that's what it should be.
Yeah, and that's why being a politician is not easy to do, especially running for mayor, because you're going to disappoint somebody.
Yes.
When big business is at play. So I would ask, because I don't know the answer, in all honesty, I would ask, was there a way that they, meaning the city, the mayor, and this is before she was even elected, because this started before she was, this, yep. Remember, Weston McCullough was like, I can't wait to be out of here.
Jim Kenney, yeah.
Yeah, Jim yes. Kenney, he couldn't wait to get out of the office
yep.
as mayor. I wonder, is there something that they could have done to push this to happen? It seemed like they were so focused on not letting the Sixers go to Camden
right.
and trying to keep them over here.
Well, I think... And first
of all,
I
almost feel like they gave in
yes.
to that.
Well, you're right in that the job is horrible. It,
yeah.
Being the mayor of a big city,
major city
in the United States is a horrible job. It's like taking on a business that you know is going to lose money, but you're taking, and not only that, to keep your job, everybody has to vote for you.
Right.
So then their focus becomes a popularity contest instead mm-hmm. of what's, because the truth is like to do that job right, you have to make hard decisions that people are going to be mad at you for. You have to. If you're going to do it right, it's sort of like if you're running a company, sometimes if you're not making money and you have to get rid of people, you have to make tough decisions, all those sorts of things. But if everyone has to vote for you to keep your job, then it's less likely that you're going to make those decisions.
Yep.
So my thought is like, she got in office, and one of the first, I'm not just blaming her, because city council was, they were acting tough and they all rolled over mm-hmm. too. Everybody mm-hmm. rolled over. But they're going to threaten you with Camden as like, on some level, you have to say, all right, tough guy, you're going to be the guy, really. You're going to be the organization that takes the Philadelphia 76ers, which is named after being in the city. You're going to move them to Camden. Like, I know you don't want to do that. You know, that's on some level why you want somebody in that position who may have run businesses before or mm-hmm. understand. Because politicians and these sorts of people, I don't even really think they live in the same world.
Right.
You know, like Josh, a Harris Blitzer, wasting a year and a half, and who knows how much money they wasted on the $20 million, whatever. That's like a drop in the bucket
for them.
They
don't care about that.
They don't
yeah.
care. They just want their outcome,
yep.
you know?
Yep.
So all I hope is all this stuff about committing to investing in Market East and all this stuff that they say they're going to do.
That they do it.
I hope they do it.
Yeah.
I hope, because I think there are things we could do with Market East that are a lot better than having 40 Sixers games there.
Now, let me
year.
Ask you this.
Yeah.
And we can move on from it. Yep. Jack is in there dying.
Yes, I'm sorry, Jack. I'm sorry, Jack. It's important.
Let's get it back to the Eagles.
Yeah, we'll get back to the Eagles. I just think it's important.
So do you think from a fan standpoint, with all that, the frustration, the 2 years, the back and forth, the meetings, all that, the protests, they're ultimately happy it's going to be in South
yes.
Philly.
End of the day, they
right.
are.
They're happy. Fans are happy. They're standing South Philly.
Right.
So it's,
but that's like the shame of it is, why did we do all this? Like,
right.
Why did we pit these weird racial divides and these mm-hmm. protests and these meetings?
To try to sway people, right?
To try to sway people. And at the end of the day, they're like, yeah, I know you made you sound like a racist if you wanted to put it here in Chinatown. But yeah, we were just kidding. We didn't even really want to put it there anyway.
Right.
It's just like... It makes you feel foolish, but you get what you want at the end. It's like if you've ever dated a girl, as I have, like my wife, is out of your league, and she's 2 hours late for a date. Mm. You're cursing for the whole 2 hours, and then she gets there, and you're like, well, I'm happy now because at least she showed up. And I think that's like sort of the position that we're in. We got what we wanted at the end, so we're just happy with it.
Yeah,
but like
a few key words in there. I ain't happy when she showed up. I'm happy at the end. We all get what we want.
It's called a big dose of D.
We'll get to that
you
in
know
about
next
15
segment.
Minutes. Yeah.
Yeah, baby.
All right.
Just warming up the audience.
Yeah. Right.
Enough.
And that's key. Yes. Well, as we'll learn, part of warming up might be
what we'll get to.
Zephyr tease.
So, also we'll get to coming up, we have somebody
an Eagles insider of the year that has been laying dormant for months.
For 6 months.
who had a scoop yesterday that might put this person back in the rankings. Huge Eagles scoop. That is coming up next. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.